athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event, then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of the program. Look, I'm excited. I'm feeling a couple of different emotions today here on for the show, and we're going to talk about those emotions a little bit. I'm excited because we're going to be joined by the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, Ron Washington. Ron Washington going to join us today here on the program. It's been several years since we've talked with Ron Washington, going back to his days as the manager of the Texas Rangers. And we're going to catch up with him today here on the program as the Angels opened the season on Thursday. So Ron Washington, the manager of the Texas Rangers, going to join us today here on the program. Look, if you remember, we had Larry Vickers, the now former head women's basketball coach at Norfolk State, here on the program. And when I did my women's bracket, you know, you got to pick some upsets. And we're going to talk a little bit more about upsets and such, right? But you've got to pick some upsets. So one of the upsets that I had was Norfolk State over Maryland. Norfolk State, the 13 seed, Maryland, the 4 seed. Well, Maryland won that game, but I think it was 12 points. Norfolk State played a respectable game, and sometimes those 13-4 matchups, those 5-12 matchups are kind of hard to choose. But Larry Vickers, now the former head women's basketball coach at Norfolk State, that's because he is now the new head women's basketball coach at Auburn. That is so big time for HBCUs, because I'd have to do the research. There have been a very few on the men's side, coaches that are HBCU grads that have gone on to be head coaches at a Power Five program. I think more recently, maybe Avery Johnson more recently as the head coach at Alabama, of course, the graduate of Southern, and there have been others, but I'd have to go and do the research to see how many HBCU grads on the women's side have been head coaches at Power Five schools. So Larry Vickers built a great program at Norfolk State, had, you know, fantastic players. Diamond Johnson, who is the reigning HBCU Division I Women's Player of the Year, Kiara Wheeler, and others. I mean, he's built a wonderful program, 3 straight MEAC tournament championships, and now he moves on to be the head women's basketball coach at Auburn. So congratulations to Larry Vickers. So we've got Ron Washington joining the program, right? The manager of the Rangers, Larry Vickers, now at Auburn, right? And now then we're going to talk some women's basketball, right? So because we've, you know, you've got the Sweet 16 women's basketball. We've got to talk a little bit about the ladies as well. Now for sort of why I told you, you know, I've mixed emotions today. So that's the good. Now the bad, right? When you fill out your bracket, and I mentioned those 13-4 matchups, the 12-5 matchups, a lot of times are hard matchups because generally you're going to have a mid-major in that 12 or 13 spot that really has an opportunity to beat a 4 seed, and generally, or a 4 or 5 seed, And generally, in that 4 or 5 seed, you're going to have a Power 5 or a Power 4 or a Power 5 school. Well, if you look at this year's Sweet 16, there were no mid-majors in the Sweet 16 this year. Zero. All of the final 16 participants, are all Power 4 or Power 5 schools. Not a single mid-major. And listen, to me, I mean, there, and again, that's a little bit why I'm not sad, but I mean, I don't know. I just, look, this whole NIL and transfer portal deal really has, is really changing. I don't want to say destroying college athletics, because I think that's going a little bit too far, because while I'm more of a pro sports guy, I enjoy, like I told you last week, I enjoy on a Thursday, right? Every year on a Thursday during the day, and even previous to that, on a Thursday or a weekday, I'm going to be able to watch some college basketball during the day. That only happens 2 times a year. That's during conference tournament championships, and it happens during the first round of the NCAA tournament, and even, you know, Thursday and Friday. And I enjoy doing that every year. So I'm not, you know, I say that to say I'm more of a pro sports guy. I still enjoy college athletics. You know, I've really gotten into it much more. Of course, HBCU is what we do here, but I've gotten into it a lot more, especially when you're talking about the expansion of the college football playoff. We talked about that a whole lot more this year. Some of our guests have been Power 5 coaches in basketball and more so in football this past year. So I still enjoy it. But when you bring in this NIL and the transfer portal, and it was about a year ago around this time that I told you guys, we're not going to talk about the NIL or the transfer portal much on this program. Well, you can't escape it, because there's a direct correlation between there not being mid-majors in this year's NCAA tournament and the transfer portal and NIL. A direct correlation, because while you've had some really good teams this year, you've had the Drakes of the world, you've had the High Points of the world, those teams were good, and they were not only good for their conferences, but they were also good in terms of competing against some Power Fives during the course of the season, competing against some higher level competition during the course of the season. But that just did not translate into the NCAA tournament. Now, in the first round, you had, you know, of course, you had McNeese State. And by the way, of course, Will Wade leaves McNeese State as the head coach. Now the head coach right here in Raleigh at North Carolina State. But that was one of the wins. You had a couple of others. But when you do those tournament brackets, you're picking some of those upsets, even beyond sometimes the 12-5 matchup and the 13-4 matchup. You may even get into the 14-3 matchup on occasion, and rarely do you get into the 2-15, and certainly not the 1-16, although that's happened twice in the history of the tournament, that a 16 upset a 1. But because of the transfer portal, because of NIL, we don't have any mid-major programs. I would say there's a correlation. There's definitely a correlation between the two. But really, more so than that, it got me to thinking about more of the lower mid-majors, if you will. So, in particular, the SWAC and the MEAC schools. Now, of course, the HBCU All-America team came out last Monday. As a matter of fact, and if you want to view that team, you can visit BoxToRow.com. Of the 17 players that made the first or second teams. Seven of those players are in the transfer portal, including Blake Harper of Howard, who was one of the top 30 scorers. And of course, he was the HBCU National Player of the Year, one of the top 30 scorers in all of Division I basketball. If you look at the numbers, especially in some of the games that he played against some of the Power Five schools, he was really, really good. And I had to go back and look at the history of a guy like Blake Harper in terms of how he was recruited. So Siena offered him a scholarship. Radford offered him a scholarship, maybe one other school. And then, of course, Howard. Howard was the first to offer him a scholarship. He signed with Howard first under Coach Blakeney. Howard didn't achieve as high as it had the previous two seasons. Remember, Howard coming into this year's MEAC tournament was the two-time defending MEAC tournament champion. It didn't work out for Howard, not only in the tournament, but in the regular season either. Well, Blake Harper is in the transfer portal now. So that hurts Howard moving forward. A guy like a KC Shaw, right? Kentrell Shaw at Maryland Eastern Shore didn't get a lot of notoriety because Maryland Eastern Shore only won about four or five games this year. It was the first year for head coach Cleo Hill, the longtime Division II coach at Winston-Salem State, where he won championships, at Shaw, where he won a championship, even at Cheney State, where he had a lot of success. He got in there in May, so you know he was able to bring KC Shaw with him, and KC Shaw was able to shine right at UMES on the Division I level, and now he leaves. And I don't blame the kids. Look, this isn't about KC Shaw. It's not about Blake Harper. Those are just two of the guys that I mentioned in terms of guys that have entered the transfer portal. Even a Drayton Jones from South Carolina State. He went from his freshman year averaging 4 points per game. This year, he averaged 10. He's a 6'11 guy. You know, he's got more upside. He's in the transfer portal now as well. Those are just a couple of the guys. The Knox kid out of Alabama State had a really, really good season. He's also in the transfer portal. I don't begrudge any player that wants to, feels like that player can get a better opportunity. I just feel like when you add the NIL element to it, right? And, you know, I've talked about this many times, and as I've thought about this over the year, or not over the year, but like even over the past 12 months, I'm like, okay, it's fine for the players. I think the players should get paid. You know, if the players want to transfer, they should be able to. But to transfer because of the money, and I'm not suggesting that there could be other reasons that the three aforementioned players are transferring. It may not just be about money. But when you are an HBCU or a lower level mid-major, you're not going to have the money that the mid-majors have, and certainly that the Power Five or Power Four Power Four institutions have as well to be able to pay some of these players. Look, I'm up against it. I got to take a break. Going to step aside, take a break, come back with more. Keep it locked to Box to Row.
On the way, it's more of From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware. Right here.
Do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call. Because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at crazy low prices. They have access to great prices and discounts at over 500 different airlines, plus 300,000 hotels and rental car companies. Their prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find the best price for you. Call SmartFares today and get ready to see the world with a fat wallet.
800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. 800-313-7757. That's 800-313-7757.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Still to come here on Box to Row, Los Angeles Angels manager Ron Washington going to join us on the program. In the last segment, we were talking about the NIL transfer and the NCAA tournament. As I mentioned, there's a correlation between the NIL, the transfer portal, and the lack of mid-major schools in the Sweet 16 in this year's NCAA tournament. And I don't know the numbers in terms of how many times there has not been a mid-major in the Sweet 16, but that does not happen often at all. Okay, so but again, you know, and I wanted to talk about sort of the lower majors, in particular the SWAC and the MEAC. You've got, of the 17 players that are on the HBCU All-America team, seven of those players are transferring. And by the way, a good deal of the players on the All-America teams, the first and second teams, have no eligibility left. So if you're talking, you're maybe talking about seven of maybe nine players or so that could in fact return to their respective schools. Even, you know, you've got guys, Brandon Weston of Tennessee State is transferring. You got quite a few guys. Pubo King of North Carolina Central. I mentioned Drayton Jones. He's got a couple of guys that are transferring. And like I said, I mean, I don't begrudge the players an opportunity. The old way that it used to work, and whether you agreed with it or not, and this is where the NCAA failed, because the NCAA had an opportunity a long time ago to make sure that players got some form of payment, something, right? Like, you heard the horror stories. I mean, you heard the extremes of players getting paid big time under the table, and you heard the stories of players not even being able to afford to go out, right? Because all that the players were getting was a scholarship. They couldn't, they weren't able to work to even earn some money. So you've heard some of those stories. The way that it used to work, however, is it was across the board. So no student athlete got paid. And while that wasn't a great method, it you know, you didn't have these issues. And by the way, if you wanted to jump into the, or you wanted to transfer, right? And let's say you were transferring up as opposed to transferring down, or if you were either transferring up or across levels. So let's say if you were at a Division I university, mid-major, whatever, it's all D1, and you wanted to transfer to another Division I university, you'd have to sit out a year to do that. Now you can jump into the portal, and players, student athletes are getting paid. And a lot of times student athletes are jumping into the portal to get paid. Again, I'm not suggesting that this is the case for any of these guys necessarily, because I don't know that to be the case. I'm just saying you do have cases where student athletes have jumped into the portal to get paid. And so where does this leave HBCUs in particular, and smaller schools, the smaller or the lower, well, I don't like to call them the lower level, okay, but the smaller schools? Well, Norfolk State head men's basketball coach Robert Jones had this to say about Norfolk State and really smaller schools in general.
This is now a glorified JUCO. You know, this is like Norfolk State Community College, because it's like, when I say that, not because of the people or things like that, but it's just the way it is. JUCO coaches, I have so much more respect for them these days, because they have to get a new team every year or every 2 years or something like that, right? You know, now we got to get a new team every year, every two. So we basically a glorified JUCO, because these kids, you know, until mid-majors, and not just Norfolk State, until mid-majors get the money that high majors have, we're never going to be able to keep kids here, you know, for a long time. I say it's easy to get them. It's hard to retain them. You know, you can get them because there's a lot of kids that want opportunities. A lot of kids want opportunities. But once they get the opportunity and then they blow up, it's harder to retain them because now the big boys are going to come.
Whether you agree or disagree with the statement in terms of glorified JUCOs, the sentiment in with which Robert Jones spoke with is absolutely correct, because it's basically a trickle down. Okay, the major schools are going to recruit and get the mid-major or the mid-major schools. The mid-major schools are going to get the what people want to call, I don't like this phrase, but the lower level Division I schools. And then the lower level, if you want to call it that, Division I schools are now going to recruit Division II athletes. So it's simply a trickle down. And this is where we are in college athletics. By the way, I think that, you look at Robert Jones. I mean, I think he certainly should have gotten an opportunity a long time ago, you know, at more of a mid-major or maybe even an upper major school with what he's been able to do as the head coach there at Norfolk State. His sentiment, I agree with 100%. And I just gave you examples. Seven of the HBCU All-Americans are in the transfer portal. You develop these guys, right? Like even a KC Shaw at UMES was with Cleo Hill for a couple of years at Winston-Salem State. Wasn't highly recruited at all. Gets to Maryland Eastern Shore, averages 18 points a game, has some good outings, scores 20 points against Maryland, and now he's off in the transfer portal and presumably will get more than what UMES can offer him. Look, we're going to table this conversation and talk about it a little bit later on because I want to continue to talk about this, and also still to come some women's tournament talk as well, so keep it locked. We're going to keep things moving on the program. We're joined, as a matter of fact, by a gentleman who's in his second season as the manager of the Los Angeles Angels. And I tell you what, you know, he's done some really great things. A former player, a former manager, went to a couple of World Series. And it's been, I don't know, it's probably been in excess of 10 years since he's joined us on the program. He's Ron Washington. He joins us right here on the program. Ron, really appreciate the time. Welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you for having me, and it's certainly good to see you again.
Yes, sir, you too. So let me start here. You're old school. I love it, right? Like, so you've instituted this deal where the players are not allowed to have cell phones in the locker room. Like, I love it. But tell us about it. What led to this?
Well, you got a young group and you're just trying to get some cohesiveness going on. And, you know, you guys don't get a chance to see the inside of a clubhouse. And to be honest with you, what does goes on the inside of that clubhouse is our sanctuary. I really don't want to have a whole lot to say about that, because it's out there and it's out there improperly. Okay. So, and I don't feel like I have the right, I don't want to have the right to set the record straight, because people take things and they run with it and do what they want to do with it. There's a certain thing in the game of baseball, the inside and the outside. And what happens on the inside is our business. Years ago, inside of a clubhouse, what happens inside of a clubhouse stays inside of a clubhouse. Now, everybody wants to have an opinion about the things you decide that they don't have any idea what's going on. So I'm going to leave that at that. I don't want to talk about that.
I got you. But I like it. Can I mean, I like it, though. I like it, Ron. I like it.
I appreciate that. That's because you have a sane mind.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ron Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, joins us here on the program. So just talk spring training. How is it going so far?
I'm really pleased with the way it's going. You know, you're always going to have situations in spring training where something isn't going exactly the way you want it to go. But the bottom line is your preparation from the beginning to the end is just that. You're getting prepared for a season, and not for March the 19th or March the 21st. You're getting prepared for opening day. In our case, is March the 27th. So I'm really pleased with the way it's going. I like the work ethic that the guys are going out there putting forth. I like the way they're getting along with each other. And, you know, we just can't wait for the season to start. But we still got three or four more days of spring training games before that start. And I want to stay in the moment.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep them in the moment.
Yes, sir. No, understood. You've got some young players. You still, you know, obviously Mike Trout. Speak to what Mike Trout, because he's been hampered by some injuries. But, man, even the limited games he played in last year, 29, I believe, he hit 10 home runs. You know, speak to him, his health, how healthy he is coming into this season.
He's very healthy, and he's in the right frame of mind. He's been working hard. At his new transition to right field, he's been a great presence around our young kids. And our hope is that we can keep that presence all year long, because Mike's performance, I'm not concerned about it, because if his presence is there, he will perform. So, you know, that includes health. But the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to just beat that dog about health, because that is Mike Trout. And all we want as the Los Angeles Angels is for his presence to be there every day. And I have no doubt that the performance will be there.
We're talking with Los Angeles Angels manager Ron Washington here on Box to Row. We'll step aside, take a break, and come back with more of our conversation with Ron Washington right here on Box to Row.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson. And it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I got to go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest. Had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our lives. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is so beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston, grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. The size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the off season, was able to get that done, and you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip hop, and it's giving me back that same love in return. You know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it, I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle, because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there. And that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused. Just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meach.
In Atlanta, told me that he was gonna move me from my hometown, Miami, to LA, put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, two times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know. So once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened, man.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was like invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls was just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games. And, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite three topics.
Hey, y'all, it is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. Ron Washington, he's in his second season as the manager of the Los Angeles Angels. He joins us here on the program. You've got some young guys, Logan Ohapi, one of those guys. I mean, you got a plethora of young guys, both in the field, pitching, et cetera. Speak to, you know, some of these guys and, you know, how they're going to help to improve the team this year.
Well, Logan Ohapi last year got his first opportunity to play a full year of baseball, and I think he's learned a lot. He's more relaxed this spring. He's more into trying to see what he can do to help our pitchers get through innings. He's understanding how to separate. He's just a leader. And I certainly appreciate the way he's going about his business. We got Shanwell at first base in his second full year. And so far this spring, I've seen him get stronger. I've seen his mental toughness develop a lot better than it was last year. So we're definitely headed in the right direction right there. You know about our shortstop, Neto. He has a shoulder problem, but there isn't anyone in spring training that's supposed to be injured that's putting in the time and the work and the effort that he is. What a young professional he is, and I just can't wait to get him back. We finally got Ringifo on the field, who we all know brings a lot to the team, and each and every day we could see him getting better health-wise. You know, we got Taylor Ward that's playing left field, an ultimate professional. You know, we got a project in center field with Adele. Moniak is already a pretty good center fielder. And it's moving along in the direction we wanted to move along. He's transforming, and that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be transformational leaders. And so the group is helping him to transform into a center fielder, and we believe he's going to do a good job out there. And then we go to Mike Trout, who's in right field. Already have shown his presence and his performance in right field. The way he runs balls down, he's threw a couple of guys out at home plate. He's certainly enjoying himself. And again, all we want to do is keep Mike's presence. You know, at second base, we got T.A. Tim Anderson right now, you know, with Mankato out. And he's beginning to get his game back together. And it's a process. And I'm just trying to keep his mind every day in the moment where he is. And once he realized that he has it, then he can start creating the memories again that he created when he was a superstar player. So I feel good about where we are. And my pitching staff, they're getting better every day. You know, we got Kikuchi, we got Hendricks, we got Tyler Anderson. Mm-hmm. We got a couple of other young kids in that rotation. You know, I'm really looking forward to us going out there and representing the Los Angeles Angels the way I know and the way they know they're capable of. But again, each and every day for a lot of our kids is still an experience, and I'm willing to go through this experience with them.
Man, very well said. I got to veer off a little bit because, like, I was in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. You've still got that New Orleans. You're from New Orleans. You still that accent still pops for you from time to time, Ron.
Yeah, it does.
Do you get home?
It does.
Do you get back home much?
No, but I usually get home for the All-Star break. You know, I'll take those 4 days for the All-Star break and go back home. But I've been in the game 55 years. It's been maybe 53 of those years that I haven't been home in the summertime. So I'm only home in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And then it's time to get back to what I enjoy most.
Yeah.
The game of baseball.
Yeah, no, I love it. Like I said, just was there last month, and I love New Orleans, like my favorite city. Anyway,
you certainly can't go there if you're on a diet.
That's true. That is so true. That is so true. Rod Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, joining us here on the program. Are there any parallels between this Angels team and either any of your Rangers teams or maybe your Rangers team in your second season as the manager?
No, you know, the main thing about being here in Los Angeles is we are breaking in some young kids. And when you're breaking young kids in, I had a veteran team. I inherited a veteran team, and we infused some young kids in there. The only difference is when I came here to the Los Angeles Angels, it was a young team with veterans. So that's where the difference is. And we infuse young kids, and right now we're trying to break in young kids. But the approach and the what we expect, the expectations are the same. You know, we certainly working hard to be successful. And success just doesn't happen overnight. It takes work. And through that work, that's where the word transformation comes in. I'm a transformational leader. And you got to stay in the process. And you got to believe. And you got to help every time there's help to be needed. And that's where I am right now with the Angels. But our expectations coming out of spring training here is to be successful. And if we're not having that type of expectations, then we are just spinning our wheels. And I've never spent my wheels, and I won't allow my kids to spin their wheels.
No doubt about it. You say, I love what you said right there in terms of transformational. Let me stick on that, because you did some things with the Rangers that had never been done, led the Rangers to two World Series. And did you think that this is your second season with the Angels, and even after the Rangers, you were an assistant coach, won a World Series, a third base coach with the Atlanta Braves. Did you feel like or think that this opportunity to be a manager in Major League Baseball would come around for you one more time?
Well, you always have doubts, but I've never been a person that was doubtful. I just realized that when I left Texas that I have to keep myself relevant. And I did. I've always been a difference maker. And I just had to continue to make a difference. And you always hope that the opportunity would present itself again. And it did. Artie Moreno, the owners of the Los Angeles Angels, and Perry Manassian, the general manager, they thought I was the guy to lead them. And I got to believe they're correct. And, you know, but it takes time. It's not easy to build a champion. And we're certainly trying to do that in every way that we possibly can, but it takes patience. And we're just going to continue to do the right things to continue to move in that direction. And at some point it will click. And I'm expecting it to click this year.
I was going to ask, I mean, the way you're talking, and you're right, all of the players, the young guys you mentioned that are coming back, I mean, how far away do you think you are? Maybe even from, I don't know if it's a fair question, but I'm going to ask it. How far do you think you are away maybe from, you know, really competing for a World Series?
Well, that is a fair question. And I could give you the what they call it, the politically correct answer. I'm expecting to compete this year.
Okay.
But in reality, we have to improve first. We have to make a difference from what happened last year into this year. And if we make that jump from last year into this year with improvement, anything can happen. We can get on a roll at the right time. But I do believe that we will be better moving into 25 than we were in 24. But the game of baseball, you can't predict because it's played between those white lines. And there's a lot of things that can happen between those white lines to take you off track. So our whole focus is to stay on track. And at the end of 25, we'll know where we are. But our intentions are to be better in 25 than we were in 24. How much better? I can't predict. Because we got to go between the white lines and perform every night. And I expect us to do that. And along with that, our kids will gain more and more confidence and more trust in each other and the ability to know that they can. And once we conquer those three things, and we can start sustaining, and we can start being consistent, anything can happen. But to predict, I have to say, if I had to predict, I think we can knock on the door to compete for a championship in a couple years.
Okay. Very good. Very good. A couple of more thoughts with Ron Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, who joins us here on the program. You know, you're the love that you have, and I've known you for quite some time, going back to your days with the Rangers. You have this love for the game, and it's exuding in this conversation that we're having right now. Where does that love for the game of baseball come from?
Come from my upbringing. I didn't do anything when I was a young kid but run behind a baseball from sun up to sundown, and I found out I love it. And I found out that I wanted to learn as much about it as I possibly could. And then I got to the point in my career where all the old baseball guys that are inside of me, that's who you see being exuded, them. I wasn't born with this. Someone had to instill it in me. And I have to thank my A-ball coach, my rookie ball coach, my double-A coach, my triple-A coach, and the managers that I played for. And all the people that I've been around in this game for who I am and the passion that I have. And it all came from my upbringing. When I was young, I played 15-year-old ball for three straight years. So that meant I was 12, 13, and 14, 13, 14, and 15 playing higher style of baseball. So it brought the best out of me because you had to compete. I used to play with my brothers. And a lot of times when I got weak, they would tell me, you got two choices. You either figure it out or go home. Well, I wasn't going home, so I figured it out. And I've been figuring it out in the game ever since. And I try to do the same with people that I meet. I share what I've learned. I share what people shared with me. And that's how we keep the game going. And I love this game so much. And I want to do what's right for the game. And I certainly want to do what's right for my players.
Last thought, very well said. What do you, you know, what did you sort of learn about yourself maybe last year, your first year as the manager of the Angels, having not been a manager? You're part of the game. Again, as I mentioned, won a World Series, third base coach with the Braves. What did you sort of learn about yourself last year getting back into the game as the manager?
That I have a lot of patience, and that's what it takes.
You got to, right?
And to be honest with you, that's the one thing that's missing in life is patience.
Yep.
And I found out I have patience, and I found out that I can't be deterred from my vision, and I won't let my players be deterred from the vision we are trying to chase out there. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult, but that's life, and we didn't get – especially me, I didn't get to where I am by not going through difficulties in life. And baseball is the same. And so I'm going to keep chugging along. As long as Audie Moreno giving me this opportunity and Perry Manassian believing me. I'm going to try to instill that belief in my players, and we're going to chug along. And we're going to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish. As far as when, I can't say, but things happen sometimes that you don't envision. And I'm looking forward to 25 happening that we didn't envision.
Absolutely. Ron Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, he joins us here on the program. I tell you what, Ron, it's been a long time. It's good to see you. An absolute pleasure. Good luck to you and the Angels this season.
Well, thank you so much. And just keep praying for us, because one thing, when you look at our team, you're going to be able to say those guys get after it. And that's all I can ask, is that they get after it. And by getting after it, good things can happen. I do believe there's baseball guys out there. You treat the game right, you will get blessed. And that's certainly what has happened to me in my baseball career. I've been blessed.
Angels manager Ron Washington. More March Madness talk on the other side.
On last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Dwayne Simpkins, the head men's basketball coach at American. What do you remember about those days at Maryland?
Man, just the connection that we had. I remember beating Carolina when they were number one in the country. And man, but the biggest memories I have, man, is us in the dorm rooms playing spades, cutting up on each other, playing Sega Genesis. You know, that was when, you know, just before NIL, we had our name, our image, and our likeness on the videos. And the black little kid, number 10, left-handed, is on the Coach K's game and everything. But those are the things, man, that you remember more than anything.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports, and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
It's Donald Ware, From the Press Box to Press Row.
Thank you to Ron Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, for joining us here on the program a little bit earlier. Getting back to the transfer portal, NIL, NCAA tournament, I was talking specifically about the teams from the SWAC and the MEAC in terms of losing players that have really good seasons and then are scooped up by the bigger schools, and sometimes in some instances the Power Five schools. Like Blake Harper stands to really, really benefit. I mean, top 30 scorer, got a lot of pub all season long, and he backed it up. He's not just a pub guy. Like, he played well against some really big teams, so he really stands to benefit from this NIL, no doubt about it. But again, a guy that wasn't very highly recruited out of Gonzaga High School in Washington, D.C. So if you're a coach now at those levels and at the HBCUs, how are you building a program? You've got to be planning. When you bring a guy in the program, you have to anticipate that guy is going to leave the program. And again, sometimes guys, and I think it's important to point this out, sometimes guys leave the program not for an NIL deal per se, not for a bigger school. Sometimes it's the program that they're just not comfortable with. They don't like the program. Maybe they don't like the school. Sometimes life happens, right? A family member gets sick and you're in a long ways away from home. You want to try. So those kind of things still apply. But again, when you had the old rules, they had hardships. So the NCAA would evaluate a particular situation with respect to a student athlete and grant or not. Now, that you know, I think some oversight was needed there as well. But what are the expectations further with trying to build a program? But now, what are some of the expectations for some of these schools now, right? You're trying to build a program. How do you go about building a program? You used to be able to have a guy. You would be guaranteed to have a guy, especially at a mid-major program, guaranteed of 3 years. Now, You may have him two. In a lot of cases, you may only have him 1 year. How do you go about building a program now? And so all of those things are question marks. Coaches are going to adapt. Coaches always adapt and still have success. I guess from where I'm sitting, as one that has covered college athletics, not only covered college athletics for all of these years, but was in athletics administration. And that's probably why I kind of look at it this way, because I remember how it used to be and from an insider looking out. And now you look at it, it's like, man, where have we come? And I want to get your thoughts on this. Hit us up via Twitter at Box to Row, B-O-X, or X, excuse me, via X, at Box to Row, B-O-X-T-O-R-O-W, or you can hit me on my personal X account at DWare1, at DWare1. Interested to know your thoughts on the whole transfer portal NIL and where it relates to mid-majors and some of those schools, specifically MEAC, SWAC, some of again, just for lack of a better term, lower tier Division I programs, and what happens to those programs, and what are some of the expectations now from some of those coaches? You got to coach now a little bit differently. Maybe the expectations weren't as high to begin with, but now what is expected of these coaches who are going to lose kids, going to recruit, do a good job of recruiting kids. Kids are there 1 or 2 years and then lose them to higher major programs. And also, by the way, I know we're talking about basketball. A lot of times in basketball, you're going to lose. Guys are going to, you're going to have guys transfer from a Power 4, Power 5 program to another. You see that quite a bit in football. You see it more so in football, especially a lot of times at the quarterback position. Maybe, you know, you see it a lot more in football, and in particular from the quarterback position. But that's also a thing you could see in college basketball as well, in terms of guys transferring from one Power 4 or 5 program to another. So it's, you know, again, it's where we are. You know, I've actually come to accept it. And again, I still enjoy, it's not like I don't enjoy, it's just, you know, one of those things where it's like, man, what about these smaller programs that can't afford these NIL deals, can't afford all the monies that a lot of these, the bigger programs and then certainly the upper programs can afford. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things, and it's just where we are in college athletics. And it's pro sports now. It's a version of pro sports is where we sit. Let's talk a little bit about the ladies as well. And, you know, I got to give big shots out to our affiliate in the Bahamas, Global 99.5 FM. And Ole Miss is in the tournament. Ole Miss doing its thing, right, in the Sweet 16. And head coach Yolette McPhee-McEwen talks about, in this clip you're going to hear, talks about representing the Bahamas.
Well, you know, like we say, 2-4-2 to the world. So I have a whole country that's behind me, and that is not an exaggeration. I turned my phone on, and I had 150 messages and 50 from WhatsApp. And the only people that WhatsApp me are Bahamian people. So my daddy was watching, my brother, I know everybody was super excited. You know, it's a great deal for me to come from a little country and be able to come over here and live the American dream. A lot of people know or don't know my story, but you know, I took the stairs, and you know, I think I've been naturalized maybe 5 years now. I don't remember, but But my roots is still Bahamian roots. My family is there. I get a lot of love from my people in the Bahamas. And I just think that when we get an opportunity, we always show out, from Jonquel to Buddy. You know, I know I'm going to hear from JJ and Buddy, to Devon. Man, it's just so many of us. VJ, I do root for Baylor, but just VJ. He's a Bahamian. So we have tons of Bahamians out here just doing well, and I'm happy for them all.
Ole Miss head women's basketball coach Yolette McEwen on what it means to represent the Bahamas. And big shouts out again to our affiliate in the Bahamas, Global 99.5 FM. You know, I got to tell you, my women's bracket is looking much better, like much better than my men's bracket. And I mean, I'm looking at the matchups for Saturday. I've got South Carolina advancing. I've got Duke advancing. I've got UConn winning the national championship. I feel like, and look, this is the thing. You look at South Carolina, and when South Carolina and UConn met last month, I mean, it was just a drubbing by UConn over South Carolina. But I think the Gamecocks learned from that. The Gamecocks haven't lost a game since that time. But I really like UConn. I mean, Paige Beckers, I think Paige Beckers should be the player of the year. I think you talk about all-around great players. I mean, I think all respect to Juju Watkins, who, wow, I mean, that hurts so much for USC with Juju Watkins going down in that game. She's out, obviously, for the season. And of course, I had USC going all the way to the Final Four. Will that happen now? Kind of hard. It's still a good team, but Juju Watkins was one that, just a special player, having an absolutely incredible season. And when we think back to Caitlin Clark last year, or the last couple of years, and in particular last year in the season that she had at Iowa, when you look at Juju Watkins' pace in her sophomore year and compare it to Caitlin Clark's pace in terms of scoring, I think I read or saw some or heard somewhere where Juju Watkins is ahead right now, at least, of Caitlin Clark in terms of scoring at the same pace. Now, we know, you know, Clark did a lot. She was absolutely phenomenal last year. But, boy, that's a big blow. That is a huge, huge, huge blow for USC, and we'll see how the Trojans respond. But I really like UConn. I've got UConn winning the national championship. I got to look and see if I have the, I think I had the rematch between UConn and South Carolina. If those two, whatever, whenever those two meet, I can't remember if it's going to be in the Elite Eight. But I have UConn winning that rematch, and then UConn winning the national championship on the ladies' side. On the men's side, what can you say about Duke? You know, I mean, Duke is incredible. Going to have, you know, and all of these matchups, right? Like, okay, you would have thought that some of the Sweet 16 matchups would have been a little bit closer, especially for Duke. Duke ran through Arizona. Florida ran through Maryland. Watched that game. Florida's really, it was the first time I had a chance to really sit down and watch Florida this year. Florida's really, as everybody's talked about, Florida's really, really good. I think Maryland had some issues in terms of rebounding and keeping Florida off the boards, but that's part of what Florida does. And so some of these matchups on Saturday are going to be incredible. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Thank you to Ron Washington, the manager of the Los Angeles Angels, for joining us today here on Box to Row. If you missed the conversation with Ron Washington, you can visit our website, boxtorow.com. And always remember to support those that support. Yo, Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.